So, today's December the 29th, and I know what you all are thinking. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. Right? This is the fifth day of Christmas, but what do I get? I get the opportunity to preach once again on the same text that I preached on Christmas morning. Who here was here on Christmas morning? Mike was. See, Mike, I could have just done the same exact sermon, and nobody would have known the difference except for you. And you matter to me, Mike. So I wrote a whole new sermon because we have four extra verses in this passage today than we did on Christmas Day. Okay, thank you, Mike, for being here. You don't know the catalyst you are. So, you know, we've already tucked away the baby Jesus. The shepherds have gone back to watching their flock by night. Mary and Joseph certainly aren't still shivering in the cold with the cattle lowing in the background, right? And certainly the angels have stopped singing by now, right? The Magi? Well, they're still a ways away. They're still following that star, and they'll be here next week. We will be celebrating Epiphany Day on next Sunday. So what more is there to say about the birth of Christ? I think that John's gospel just may be answering this question. Our gospel reading today didn't have a nativity story, but it was a prequel to our nativity story, if you think about it. And we all know what a prequel is, right? We know what a sequel is, that story that comes after something else. Well, a prequel is that story that comes second, but yet it takes place before the first thing that we saw. John's story of Jesus, who he refers to as the Word, by the way, it goes back to the intention of God, which was expressed in God's creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. The one we call Jesus, John refers to as the Word. And he has existed all along. In fact, he was the agent of God's creation. It's kind of a play on what we know, that God used words in creating the world, right? Let there be, and there was. And Jesus was this Word, something that coexisted with God, God's expression from the very beginning. Our gospel writer's interpretation of the Genesis creation story creates a prequel that provides an understanding of, and that makes sense of who Jesus really is for us. And that's all the gospel story is really intended to be, if you think about it. A story which helps give you hope in this one that we call Jesus. And we've got to keep the Genesis creation story in mind when we're reading this first chapter of John. Genesis tells us that it was on the first day of creation that God created something. What did God create on the first day? Light. Exactly. What has come into being in him, that is God's word, the one we call Jesus, was life. And the life was what? The light. Of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So John sees Jesus as the Word and also as the light that came on the first day of creation, God's expression spilling out into the creation. Light is a big deal, okay? You never know how much you need light until you don't have it. Think about it. Have you ever been in your house, the power goes out, everything goes dark, and the first thing you think of is like, I need some light. Yeah, you try to create light however you can, and then you're thinking, why didn't I keep some candles in the closet? It's that thing that we know we need whenever darkness comes upon us. We always need it now. Why? Because, well, bad things happen in the dark. Light is a big deal. Did you know that in purely economic terms, prior to the 19th century, that light was so expensive that a day's wage wouldn't even buy a day's worth of light? Now that's expensive. Back in the Babylonian days, right? A day's wage would only buy you 10 minutes of light. When kerosene was discovered back in the early 1800s, a day's wage would buy you 5 hours of light. And by the 1990s, what would you guess a day's wage would buy you in terms of light hours? Yeah, 20,000 hours of light. And that's over 2 years worth of light. So why does light matter? Light is costly. Because we know bad things happen in the dark. Light is a big deal in our religious tradition too. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, what was upon the face of the deep? Thank you. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Until what? Until the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then what happened? God spoke the word. The creating word from God's mouth said, "Let there be light." Yeah, it all comes together, right? And there was light. And God saw the light. And that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Why? Because bad things happen in the dark. If any of our gospel writers could be accused of trying to rewrite the Bible, it was John, okay? You might have missed this, but John's feast day was actually the 27th, okay? Wednesday, Thursday, so that was Friday. Friday, what did you do to celebrate St. John's Day? Anybody? No. Kind of missed out on that, huh? Well, John took the concepts of the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament, and he applied them to what he had come to learn about who Jesus was. John was so immersed in the theological and philosophical thought of his day that he simply knew that what we would get if he referred to Christ's word as Christ as the word, the Logos of God, as the light which was coming into the world. So what did John say happened when this light did come? John said that the darkness did not overcome it. Literally, the word John uses here is "get down with it." The darkness failed to get down the light. And everybody knows that bad things happen in the dark. Just to assert that the light has overcome the darkness, though, it doesn't always ring true for us now, does it? We have a whole lot of evidence for the fact that it looks like the darkness might be winning. And when we look around the world, it seems like that's the case. Every day we see and hear about death and despair, terrorism, killing, all sorts of unholy isms. These are all bad things. And it certainly looks like darkness is winning, and that bad things do happen in the dark. Well, you want to hear some good news? The gift of God at Christmas, which we are now in the fifth day of, okay, the gift of light that conquers the darkness. On the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, what was it? 5 golden rings. Those rings are shiny. Yeah, they glisten in the light of Christ. We are the golden rings of Christ, reflecting that light into the world. Take your 5 golden rings, be those glistening objects, and let that light shine. Embrace this. Consider that who you are at the very core of your being is a part of this light that is coming into the world. And you know what? The darkness cannot overcome it. Remember, the light dwells among us, and when God's light abides in us, no darkness is safe. Darkness is running scared, my friends, and we are being the light. Because we have the light, because we are the light, darkness is bound to lose. So keep shining out in that darkness. You are the beam of the light of Christ, the 5 golden rings. We gleam out darkness, and we keep the hope of love alive. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.